Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Apple, Dell, Yahoo. They're some of the most well-known companies in corporate America. I mean, really, they're household names, and they've also been at the center of some rough and tumble fights between CEOs and their boards and what are euphemistically referred to as activist investors, people like Carl Icahn, David Einhorn, Daniel Loeb. Now, the disagreements can range from how the companies are spending their money, or in the case of Apple, not spending their money, how much the companies are actually worth, that's Dell, and who's actually running the company, as was the case at Yahoo before Marissa Mayer became the CEO. Well, joining me is Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Steve Bertone with Forbes. And Steve, you co-wrote the magazine's current cover story about perhaps the most well-known activist investor, Carl Icahn, and you described him as, quote, the most disruptive individual in business with a hand in almost every corporate story in America. So from your reporting, who benefits from his actions?
Well, so far, if you own a stock that Carl comes into, you're going to win. When he comes in, there's always a one-day pop, and he's had a great track record the last few years of great returns.
But is what he's doing, is it for the short term, or does it really change the company overall and make it a good long-term investment for people, for example, who are in a mutual fund or their pension is wrapped up in that company?
He does both. I mean, he's owned companies like his railroad companies and like some casino companies for years. Other ones like Chesapeake and CVR Energy, he's more of a quick money guy. So he can do both things.
Well, Ron, why are we seeing sort of this sudden surge in shareholder activism, this what I'd like to call a shareholder spring?
Shareholder, right. Well, maybe because corporate America has $2 trillion on the balance sheets. And activist investors, which, by the way, used to be called barbarians at the gate, want some of that money. And, you know, in terms of who Carl Icahn makes money for, or Ackman or Einhorn or many of these guys that are you see going after the big tech companies, it's first and foremost themselves. Let's not forget that. And I think that if you talk to some of the tech companies, they'll say that they do feel that some of these folks represent a real short-termism, a real kind of, you know, pressure for let's make money now, let's hit the quarter, rather than a longer-term focus on the company's well-being. And actually, you can see that, interestingly, in some of the cross battles between folks like David Einhorn and CalPERS, the big California pension fund. When Einhorn tried to push Apple to give up some of its cash a few months back, CalPERS actually came in and stood behind the company. So it's interesting. I think the pressure is going to be on companies to actually start cultivating some of the longer-term shareholders and really courting them a little bit more than they have in the past.
And just having them there, like Carl was saying, that just having him in the room makes people be on better behavior.
I'll say.
I mean, look at Chesapeake with Aubrey McClendon, who was spending money like crazy. Aubrey was a huge overhang on the stock. And Carl just getting there, watching him, he started selling off assets so they could get rid of some of the debt, and the stock popped. Icahn left. Then he came back in saying, hey, we should sell some more stuff. Aubrey said no, and next thing you know, Aubrey's gone. So he said he's kind of like the hall monitor.
Well, that's one of the things. I mean, some of these folks sometimes get accused of being what you use the term barbarian. Are they at less gentle terms than activist investor? You know, is
I love
what
the rebranding, by the way. Well, so, is so what kind they're, and gentle.
Are they doing something different? I mean, are they bringing value to the common shareholder? And in the larger picture, too, are they making corporate America better and therefore better for the economy?
I think to the extent that they're shining a spotlight on corporate behavior, on corporate pay, on how boards work, I think that they could be playing a constructive role. Now, you know, ultimately, if they're just agitating for companies to give back cash or to get a great buyout deal for themselves, I don't think that's all that constructive. But I do think that with all this cash on the balance sheet, you're going to see more short-term activists. But I think you're also going to see more of a trend towards longer-term shareholders saying, hey, wait a minute, we want to be heard from too. And I think that's where the constructive stuff is going to come from.
I think they're an important part of the market sometimes. They keep people on their toes. They keep management working hard. One debate we had at Forbes was, does corporate Japan, which is so bloated and so crony, do they need a Carl Icahn? If there was an Icahn or a Loeb or an Ackman there kind of pushing these boards and shaking things up, would that push innovation? Would that push change?
It's a great question.
When you look at these activist shareholders, is there ever a worry that maybe they're misusing their shareholder power? I mean, it's a lot more democracy if shareholders can actually make changes in the corporate board, but are there times when they're misusing it?
You know, what I see when I look at all these stories is a lot of very rich people talking to a lot of other very rich people. And I think that that is essentially what's wrong with the way corporate America works today. You know, if you look at Germany, they have an entirely different board structure. You have representatives from labor, from the public sector sitting on boards. It's not just this sort of insular world of the same kind of people making decisions. And I think, if anything, it shows that we maybe need to rethink the entire structure of the boardroom in America.
Yeah, but do some of those decisions that they make, do they end up helping the overall economy? Do they help the average American, or do they?
Yeah, I mean, some, yes. When I talk to Carl, he's saying, I make America more efficient by making companies invest, innovate, and getting rid of waste. That's making the economy on a whole healthier. It depends. Now, they might be slashing jobs, and that's bad for the economy short term, but they would argue that to keep up with China and all these other innovations, they got to stay really lean and mean.
But, you know, I wonder if an Einhorn or an Icon had taken on Steve Jobs back when he was coming up with, say, the Apple stores. I mean, you know, would anybody have looked and thought, hey, yeah, let's create a bunch of really expensive glass boxes
retail
with three products in them? That's a great way to make money. No, but you know, it turned out to be a good idea. I just don't buy that a lot of these activists know better what to do with corporate strategy than the people running the companies.
Well, let's take a look ahead to some of the other stories that we're watching. Rana, what's on your radar?
So I'm thinking about budget battles. The president put forward his new budget. I'm just wondering, are we going to have more of the same? Because the president actually went forward, you know, he did put forward some entitlement cuts. And Republicans are not playing ball. You know, Mitch McConnell had said he might be willing to look at deductions and raising new revenue if the president moved on entitlements. He's not doing that. He's saying the budget is unrealistic. So what I see is another several months of what we've had for the last two summers, and I think we're going to end up in more debt wrangles come August.
Steve, what are you looking at?
Well, keeping this theme going, I'm still watching this Dell battle, especially to see what Blackstone is going to do next.
This is the battle that Carl Icahn and Dell and Blackstone, what's going to happen to the future of Dell and who's going to own it?
Exactly. And the question is, you know, this is not far from over. This could be our modern day barbarians at the gate, because you got all these billionaires fighting over this iconic American technology company. And the next few weeks, and maybe even a month, we're going to know what's going to happen if Michael Dell gets his company back, if Blackstone's involved, or if Icahn's going to swoop in. Maybe he'll be a friend. Maybe he'll try to take the company over himself and run it himself.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Steve Bertone with Forbes. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.